T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for KJ and Barrett. It's KJ and Brian Barrett on EEI.
By the time I came back, I didn't feel comfortable.
Physically.
Skillfully. And a lot of that discomfort came pre-snap. I've always valued my talents as something that's the improv, like, I'm going to make a play. I know how to make a play. I'm going, you know, in this system, it dictates, you know, by certain things and working extra with, you know, Josh. Throughout those times, there was times where it's just like, hold on, set wide Eddie. Am I supposed to set wide Eddie? Wide Eddie? And I'm like lost of, like, hold on, I'm thinking too much.
Yeah.
The offense kept going. And I was stopped and stagnant for 2 weeks. Then by the time I came back, it was new terminology and it was new.
Yeah.
I was like, hold on. But go back to level one. I wasn't just trying to learn a system for what it was. I was learning let's be honest, a 20-year system.
Correct.
In 2 months.
Hour 3 on KJ and Barrett here on WEEI and part of the WEEI Sports Radio Network. That's Cam Newton on the I Am Athlete podcast, sounding like Chad Ochocinco. I didn't pick up the playbook.
Well, Chad Ochocinco was in the room. He's the one that said. He's the one. He talked about it too. Chad Ochocinco is making excuses for him, saying no OTAs, blah blah blah. Here's the thing that I would say though: there is so much wrong with what Cam Newton just said in that. And I understand that he's trying to get back on the Patriots and he's trying to sell to the organization that, look, I'm going to be more comfortable with the playbook going forward. First of all, let's just address the fact that you're not trying to learn a 20-year system. You weren't running the same Tom Brady offense.
Right. You didn't. These are different opponents.
You were running something more similar that we'd see at the high school level than what Tom Brady was running. You were running more of
the Denver Bronco playbook when Josh was in Denver.
There we go. Good example. Okay. And the other thing I would say is he says that the COVID slowed him down in terms of picking up the offense and picking up the playbook and that they kept moving when he wasn't there. Well, first of all, do you think that Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish, who was there at the time, they were putting all this new stuff into the offense when the quarterback wasn't there? That just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right.
So you're putting in new plays without the quarterback. That's just dumb. It makes no sense whatsoever. And then the other thing I would point out is with Cam, he didn't miss much time. Like, he was away from the team for 2 weeks, but let's go through the timeline of what happened with the Patriots. Their game got moved because Cam tested positive on Saturday.
Right.
It got moved to Monday night against the Chiefs.
Right.
They come back from the Chiefs game. Remember how pissed Bill was? They got to travel and come back on
the
same day.
Right, it was almost like a mini revolt, right?
Yeah, and Kraft was pissed off too. The next day, it comes back that Gilmore has a positive test.
Right.
They have to close down the facility. They end up moving the Denver game the following weekend to the weekend after that. So they had one practice on the field that Cam missed. The rest of the stuff was actual Zoom meetings where everybody else was involved, and I would expect that why wouldn't Cam Newton be in the Zoom meeting? So what did Cam Newton really miss in terms of he's alluding to the fact he missed so much time with the offense and all this? Well, everybody missed time.
I think he missed a great opportunity. I think when he came in and saw that his competition is Jarrett Stidham, he's thinking, I don't have any competition. And maybe, just maybe, you're not as focused as you need to be because that shows up in your play.
But what does that have to do with the COVID absence that he's
well, saying? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, COVID doesn't stop you from checking out the playbook or studying film.
Right. Well, that's my point. He's talking about what happened with him and why the progress slowed down after the first three games. He's saying it's because of COVID.
I just think it's just we are seeing the breakdown of a quarterback who's been a primary runner, who's taken some pretty serious hits, and now his arm is gone.
Right. So his whole thing about saying that the reason that the season didn't go the way it did was because of the COVID situation that slowed down his progression with the playbook, et cetera. I think it's all BS. I think it was just more about the rest of the league after the Miami game kind of figured out what the Patriots were doing, and Cam couldn't duplicate what he did against the Seahawks, who at the time had the worst passing defense in the NFL for the first half of the season. And even if Cam wants to say, all right, the first couple of games back, I had the COVID fog. I've had COVID-19. I didn't have a fog, but some people apparently have COVID fog.
You did?
Okay. good point. Maybe I did.
It'll be the Barrett show the rest of today. No,
maybe
but go ahead.
Did. But anyway, so let's just say he had the COVID fog for 2 weeks. Like he couldn't grasp things. Well, then what about the week 14, 15, and 16? 9 of 16 for a 119 against the Rams with that crucial pick six. He threw for 209 yards against Miami. They lost that game. And against Buffalo on Monday night, the most embarrassing performance of the year, 5 of 10 for 34 yards, and he's pulled. So the COVID fog had to be gone by then.
You know, I think the biggest thing that Cam said in that podcast was he doesn't believe that there are 31 other quarterbacks or 32 other quarterbacks better than him. Sometimes when you say what you don't know, you're revealing what you do know. Like, I don't like a particular ice cream. That means you've tasted that ice cream and you don't like it. There are 32 quarterbacks probably better than Cam Newton right now. And I think he is coming to grasps with that. And because of that, that's when you start replaying things in your mind. Because remember, during the season, you didn't hear any of these things about the COVID fog and how he wasn't picking up things. He, you know, it was just kind of like steady as she goes, best attempt as possible.
Well, it does kind of reveal where he's at from a confidence perspective, right?
Because good shot.
When he had that, what was it, at whatever it was, that documentary, which I don't even know, is it coming out now? Like the 86 days or whatever, 86 nights where he was without a job because nobody had signed him. Remember that was a big thing that Cam was...
Well, look what happened to days 87 after.
Well, that's my point.
I don't even know.
Oh, my gosh. They were working on this documentary. I don't know if it ever came out. But he also did that whole roundtable with Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz, and he was very cocky at the time where he's saying, this team passed to me. He's looking at the schedule. This team passed to me. This team passed to me. This team passed to me. And now in this podcast that he does after the season, he says there's not 32 quarterbacks better than me, right? And it seemed like at the beginning of the season, he was saying how he was going to make all these teams pay that decided not to bring in Cam Newton. And then that same guy after the season said, well, you know,
there's none of them will pay.
But think about that margin, though. There's not 32 guys better than me. This is a former MVP. Now he's saying, I know I'm not the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. That's his point.
Well,
and maybe he's right about that.
Well, I don't think he's
good.
A starting quarterback anymore. I think that's just where he is right now. It's like, look, Cam, the days of you being the primary snap taker are done. What can you now offer to a team that has a quarterback that might be a young guy that you might mention like in the draft or someone that's coming in? Because now I think about it more when I hear these sound bites. I'm thinking, would I really want Cam Newton back here to try and teach a system that he isn't really picking up? Would you?
No, but I would not bring him back unless he was going to, I wouldn't bring him back, period. But I'm saying Cam would not be here unless he was going to be the starting quarterback. I don't see him taking a backup role. And that's why I think he goes
pull
out,
a Danny Ainge. Hey,
in that podcast,
come on back and you have a chance to start.
Yeah. I mean, in that podcast, they go on and on about a million different things. But one of the things he did is he praised Belichick. He talked about how great Belichick was. He loves Bill. There's this misconception of who Bill is. That's him appealing to Bill to try to get him to bring him back.
KJ and Barrett on WEEI 617-779-7937. Joe in Boston, thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Okay. Cam Newton struggled to throw the football. His dynamics were off, and no amount of film is going to fix that. The fact is, it was clear he's the kid who's hurt. He had, you know, every time he launched the football, it looked like he was throwing a boulder. And I think that he will be coming back because I think Mr. Belichick is stubborn enough to give it another go and prove everybody wrong. I hope Cam's on the same page.
Joe, thanks for the call. Yeah, there's a part of me that says if Belichick brings Cam back and tries to sell him as a potential starter, of the likes you've never seen of just apps. I think the best thing that happened for Cam Newton this season was there were no fans at Foxborough. Because then you would really be able to grasp how bad it really was.
Yeah, I think you could argue both sides of that, right? Like, if there were fans at the beginning of the season, maybe it could have helped him, because he is a guy that plays off the fans. But to your point, at the end of the season, it would have been really bad when the fans were booing Cam Newton, so that certainly did help. But I will say this, though, in terms of him saying that he can't see Belichick bringing back Cam. Well, he said he thinks he could. I'm with him. I think that Bill could say, you guys think I can't get this player in a situation where he plays well again? I easily see Bill bringing
Cam. But then
Cam
that
back.
Would be ego almost, getting in the way.
Yes, I'm almost
ahead
ready.
Of performance.
I'm almost preparing myself that Cam's going to be back, because I don't see what the other options are right now. I'm almost ready for it.
Chuck,
I don't want it, but I'm ready for it.
Chuck and Methuen, you're on the you're on WEEI.
Yes, if the Patriots do not sign Cam based on his performance last year, does any other 31 teams want him as even a backup?
I don't know. A backup, yes.
I mean, who? Tell me who. Who can play in the NFL who can't throw? Is this a new game? What, are they going to start running the wishbone? I mean, come on. He can't throw, and you can't even be a backup in the NFL if you can't throw. The good teams have a good backup who can play.
I'm with you on that, Chuck. I would not want Cam Newton as my quarterback, but I do think he'll have options.
Yeah.
I don't think there are a lot.
I think
he's
going to
have one or two.
I mean, if he's a backup.
Well, I don't think he's going to do that. I really don't. And I think it's difficult to bring in. And he actually talked about this in the I Am podcast with Brandon Marshall. I think sometimes, like, one thing he was right about is he said a lot of teams didn't look at him because of who he was, right? Because he's Cam Newton's celebrity quarterback. Like, he talked about the fact that he's intimidating to a lot of people. So let's just say hypothetically last year, right? Buffalo.
I think GMs look way past that stuff. It's like, what did you do? What have you done for me lately? That's. I think that's all they look at.
No,
or if they had a prior relationship with him. Like, he could end up in Washington on that.
Is like Buffalo last year, they were in a situation where basically almost half their staff is from Carolina, right? Sean McDermott, the head coach, used to be the DC there. The general manager there is from Carolina. So there's a lot of Carolina there. And remember, Josh Allen was not good his first 2 years in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it from that perspective, it would have made sense for them to take a shot on Cam. But if Cam's in camp, is that good for Josh Allen? Same thing with Cleveland, right? If they brought, because they were one of the teams that said, hey, we'll bring you in. And we're not guaranteeing you're the starter because we have Baker. But if he went in there, wouldn't that be kind of rough for Baker? If Baker starts out the season and he's like 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in his first couple games, isn't it like, you got to look over my shoulder at Cam? There's
so
a lot of pressure there.
Maybe Cam is thinking, because the Patriots quarterback is in such disarray, that his thinking could be that, hey, at least I'm an option when you have no others.
Right. He's selling himself to the team. That's why he's talking about the playbook and all that stuff. And
my
that's
argument
why he's
would be is you're no longer an option. We've seen that tape all year.
KJ, I agree with you 100%, but I don't believe Bill agrees with you. I believe Bill thinks he's still going to be able to get something out of the player. Why didn't he give Stidham an opportunity at any point last year?
Well, I think I can't really get into the mental of what went on with Stidham, but I think probably part of Stidham's confidence went down seeing a guy in practice who can't throw and you can't get into the game. That's got to be tough.
Well, that's my point, is Bill probably thought he could still get something out of Cam. Like, there's still value in playing Cam because the season's over. Why are you still playing the guy if there's no chance he's part of the future? Like, if you just knew Cam was done after the season, why would you even play him? You already tried that project. It didn't work. Move on to next season. See if you have anything with Stidham and then go from there with the quarterback position. But instead, he kept Cam in because I believe he still wanted to see what Cam could do.
KJ and Barrett on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Or, of course, the text line 37937. Spencer and Beverly, go ahead.
Gentlemen, great show. Couple of things. I'm so sick of hearing everyone talk about how Cam can't throw. Are you kidding me? How many yards did he throw for this year? Because if it's zero, you're right. If he threw for 0 yards, that means he can't throw.
All right, Spencer, how about he can't throw well?
Okay, well, that's different. He can't throw. That's one. Number two,
He
won 7 games at the NFL level with a high school varsity team like Beverly High School. They won 7 games. They could have won 10. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, I get it. But you know what the reality is? They were in 3 other games they could have won. Seattle was one of them. They were at the 3-yard line, and all you had to do was run to the cone and not and disobey the great Belichick, and they would have won that game.
But see, that's the problem. Everybody in the world knew he was running because there was no throwing going on.
Okay, listen, a lot of teams run at the one. Look what happened in the Super Bowl when that against Seattle and the Patriots. They should have handed the ball off to one of the greatest backs of all time in Seattle. They didn't give it to him once. You want to know why? They didn't want him on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the face of the franchise. Tell me about those politics over there in Seattle. They ended up losing the Super Bowl because of it. So that's number two. Number three.
Yeah.
Number three. Let me just finish my last point here.
Is this Tuca?
They could have won 10. If they won 10 games last year, if they won 10, would you want Cam Newton back here? Let me tell you what the upside is with Cam. He knows the system better now.
Yeah,
he understands what you need to do. Maybe they get some talent around him. He's throwing the ball to a bunch of ghosts. These are ghosts.
Yeah, but he was just saying how he was confused about how the playbook seemed to suddenly be changed on him.
I believe that. I believe him. I don't disbelieve him. I think this guy has a passion. I think he has the acumen. I think he's got the cachet. I think he can come in here next year and really solidify this team and really wow some people if he has the right people around him. You think Tom Brady would have brought that team to the Super Bowl? No way. But Spencer, they would have been better than they were last year.
There's no doubt about that. But hey, one thing before I let you go. Hey, Spencer, hold on 1 second. Yeah. One thing before I let you go. I just want to compliment you. This is the first time you've ever called when I've been on a show. And you didn't rip Tuca, so congrats, man.
Well, what? The reason why is
why would you
he'll
bring
hang
it
up?
Up
on me if I start talking about it. He'll hang up on me. If I start
yeah, we're about to.
He says, thanks for the call. Hey, Tuca, whoa, don't get me started there.
Spencer, have a good one, my man.
Oh, my God.
See you, man. All right, Ken in New Bedford. Go ahead.
Tuca.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Now, I don't know your position personally, but most of the WEEI posts don't like Derek Carr. I think he's the only guy that is within possible reach that can come in and be effective. And I actually
like Derek Carr. I've mentioned that here on the air. Just been late at night.
He's had a couple of good seasons. I think the leg break is behind him. I mean, the guy's kind of a winner. I think it's 101 passer rating the last couple of years, low interceptions. So I think if you do something with Gilmore, a couple of draft picks, send him off to Las Vegas, and then let Gruden make a bid for, Watson. I think something like that's doable.
Yeah, but Ken, wouldn't he have to have that guy in place before he let go of Derek Carr? Like, I know Russell Wilson, one of the teams.
Yeah, but you can, you're right, but you can actually orchestrate it for him. You can do the legwork to see if it's doable. I don't think there's a lot, it's funny because there's a lot of quality quarterbacks who seem to be, you know, either the team or they themselves want to be shopped around in 2021. And I think it's a pretty – I like some of the – after the first three quarterbacks, I like some of the other quarterbacks in the third, fourth round. I like guys like Kellen Mond could be something, you know, not right away.
This guy must listen when I'm
the only guy I could see – the only guy I could see coming in right away and being, you know, almost a certain effective quarterback would be Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I just don't see, and appreciate the call,
yeah,
Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
I just don't see the possibility of being able to get Derek Carr. And I know that Russell Wilson was on, or the Raiders are on Russell Wilson's list, so to speak, of, hey, I don't want to trade, but if I was going to get traded, here are the four teams.
And Gruden is that person that would be on the phone figuring out how he can get Russell Wilson.
Derek Carr is like a pretty good quarterback. So if you're the Raiders, what are you doing if you don't have Derek Carr? So the only way that this would happen for the Patriots, like that they could get into the, I guess, Derek Carr sweepstakes is
presuming Derek Carr doesn't go back to Seattle in the deal.
Right, exactly. So if you're the Seahawks and you have to get rid of Russell Wilson, you need a quarterback.
Right.
So you're going to need to get somebody, and you would think Derek Carr would be good enough for them in that
deal. Unless Gruden says, let's do the Mariota thing this year. Because it saves them half their money. They can move off from Derek Carr.
But then what's your future, right? If you're the Raiders, you're just getting rid of Derek Carr for nothing? You're going off a pretty...
For money?
You just said you like the quarterback, right? He's pretty good.
I like him.
So I think
he would be probably the top choice in terms of making a trade.
Then you're in the worst situation in the NFL. You don't have a fix right now. You're like the Patriots. You don't have a fix right now, and you have no future at the quarterback position. I just don't understand why the Raiders would just move off Carr to move off Carr unless they were able to get Watson or they were able to get Russell Wilson. But until that happens, I don't know why they would be trying to move the player. If anything, they've been trying to move Mariota.
Yeah, and that's really kind of dumping, I think, damaged goods, actually, on somebody. Somebody will fall for it. Maybe the Patriots. I hope not. 617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett. We'll talk more football. What does Bill do in the draft? Does he pick at 15? Does he move up? Does he move down? What do you think? 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to KJ and Barrett on Sports Radio EEI.
Great, Lance. Same type of thing. You're talking about a guy who only had one start. You have 17, one start this year, 17 career starts overall, 1 year starter, only 20 years of age. But his talent will win out. New England's got to get a quarterback in this draft. They cannot wait to 15 to see one fall to them. Quarterbacks are always going to be forced up. There aren't any quarterbacks next year, Dan, in a league with some of these guys, really all of these guys. Sam Howell, North Carolina, Slovis from USC. Got to wait a couple years for the Clemson kid, DJ. So for me, it's about getting these quarterbacks. Teams need them, Dan, and they got to go get them in a trade.
Let's go, Mel Kiper. Love it.
Oh,
get Trey Lance. Let's go. Trade up, baby. Mel Kiper. Come on.
KJ and Barrett on WEEI and on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. 617-779-7937. So what does Bill do with the 15th pick? Hold him, move up, move down.
And what do you think he's going to do? 617-779-7937. Because they're two different things, right?
Stick,
what do we want him to
Bill,
do?
Bill, stick what to what Bill you know. Get some defense. Stop that run. So, Kiper in his 2.0 draft. I'm still trying to figure out how do you come up with a scenario. He has a scenario where the Patriots trade up to 9 with Denver where they can make their move for Trey Lance at quarterback. Why does Denver trade out of a spot where they need a quarterback?
It's a fair question. Maybe they're still committed to Drew Lock. Maybe they think they're going to get in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Look, at your boy Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears gave that guy 4 years, right? They just drafted Lock a couple of years ago in 2019. He's in the Kyler Murray draft. So maybe they're saying, hey, we can fix Drew Lock. We can give him another couple of years, and we can get things going. Now, I don't believe that, truthfully.
They were yanking him last season.
But maybe Denver does.
No.
I mean, he didn't get yanked last season. He missed a couple of games because of the COVID situation when they had Kendall Hinton at quarterback, the practice squad receiver. But I'm all for what Mel Kiper is saying. Move up and get the guy. Here's the thing. I'll paint the scenario, what happened a couple of years ago. And this is why Denver's in this position right now. If you go back to the 2018 draft, the Giants were the second pick and the Broncos had the 5th overall pick. And at that particular point in time, everybody knew the 18 quarterback class was great. And we heard about it for years. We also knew, to Kiper's point, that 19 wasn't good, or Kiper saying 2022 isn't good, but to my point,
right.
The 2020 draft or the 2019 draft, we knew it wasn't going to be good, right? And then Kyler Murray came out of nowhere, but that was one guy. 6th is Daniel Jones, 15th is Haskins, Locks in the second round. So the point being, the Patriots are in this position this year. The quarterback's may not be available in 2022 in the draft because the class isn't good. He mentioned Keaton Slovis, JT Daniels, Spencer. It's not a good
class.
That's
why I scream free agency so bad.
That means you need to go get the quarterback this year in the draft. Or, like what the Giants did, they took Saquon Barkley. The Broncos took Bradley Chubb. What do those teams both have in common right now? They have crappy quarterbacks because in 18 they didn't get the guy. Both those guys could have drafted Josh Allen, and it shocks me that Elway didn't, consider Allen's this big dude. huge arm. And now what are they still doing? They're still looking for quarterbacks. Or in the case of the Giants, they haven't admitted that their quarterback sucks. And so they're going to roll out with Daniel Jones and they're going to suck again next season until they find the quarterback. So go get the guy now when the supply is there, because in 2022 in that draft, supply is not going to be there for quarterbacks. You got to do it now if you're Bill.
But see, that's what's different with the Patriots. They've never had to deal with this. So to jump into this bad team, do we rush to go get the future quarterback? I would say fools rush in that regard.
I don't think you can ever. I'm not saying just look, my thing is not you just draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback, right? I'm not advocating for being the Vikings when they drafted Christian Ponder because he was the guy that was available, or the Bills went into the draft in 13, said, hey, we need a quarterback, so they took EJ Manuel. I'm saying Bill needs to identify his guy, whether it's Field or Lance. If he likes one of those two guys, trade up. I don't care what you have to do. Get the guy in here. I'm not saying settle for a guy. I'm saying getting one of those two players who are considered to be elite prospects. If Bill really likes Fields or really likes Lance, he should do everything he can to get that guy.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett. I got Paul and Milford on the line. Paul, you're live. Go ahead.
How you doing today?
Good.
As far as Sidman goes, he's not in the conversation at all because they see him every day in practice. They see him in scrimmages. They see him all the time. There's just no way that Bill trusts him at all, at least in a crucial situation. You know, he basically is a backup, you know, and that's all he's ever going to be with the Patriots. You know, at least one thing I can say for him, he got himself into a commercial at the beginning of the year. So Cam Newton showed up.
He did? What was it, Paul? Dunkin' Donuts or something?
A car dealership.
Up in New Hampshire, yeah.
They thought he was going to be the starter, but at least he got something out of that, you know? And then everything just went downhill right after that.
So, Paul, let me ask you this. So with Bill in the draft at 15, what would you like to see him do? Move up to get a quarterback, keep the pick and do something else, or move down?
Well, you know, I'm really not sure, but, you know, I know one thing. Bill has something up his sleeve, and he's just not telling anybody.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You know, we all know that.
It's Mitchell Trubisky up his sleeve.
This could go all the way to April or May, you know?
Yeah.
But Bill does have something up his sleeve like he usually does.
Yeah.
You know?
Paul, thanks for the call.
Up his sleeve the past couple of years has been N'Keal Harry and Sony Michel.
But, again, this is the first time in history for this guy. Well, since he's been here, I was going to say it's going to start raining men for the first time in his. But when you've never been in this position and you know that no one across the league is really going to help you,
what do you mean by that? Like, nobody's going to help you? There's no primetime quarterback that the Patriots have the assets to trade for anyway. So I don't think it has.
Right. So that's, I agree.
Think teams
there's
are across
not going to be
league like, oh, we're never doing business with the Patriots because we don't want to help Bill. I don't think there's anything to that.
No, what I'm saying is, there are no, and we agree on this, there are no pieces to make a free, to make a trade.
Right.
There are really no pieces to make a trade. So you have to look at who's a free agent. Is it Tyrod Taylor that comes in here? Is it Trubisky and you make a lower deal for a potential 3 or 4 year quarterback who could potentially turn it around?
He's not that good though. Like, so but then we're having the
Bill needs a reclamation story, and it would be
why does he need a reclamation story?
Because Tom is gone.
Yeah, no kidding. But
and he just won the Super Bowl. That makes it worse.
You think that Bill's, I got Tyrod Taylor, we're right back in this thing. It's just not the reality of the situation. Like, unfortunately,
I'm just going by who are actual free agents.
Right, but Bill's situation sucks. They're in a bad position because his roster is not very good right now. So you can't take one of these journeymen or bridge quarterbacks, bring them in here, and expect totally different results in 2021. Your roster is not good enough. Like, the Vikings in 17, they had the number one defense in the NFL.
Well, sure, you could see better results as long as you're not bringing Cam back.
Okay, so what's the point, though? What are the better results? Even if you hit, right? Even if you hit and you get into the playoffs, you're not winning anything. What's the damn point?
Now, I would say you get Bill Belichick into the playoffs, you got a shot. You got a shot.
Okay, so you're going to go through the Chiefs with Pat Mahomes, and you're going to go through the Bills with Josh Allen.
I don't know who would be in the playoff tree. I just know if I had Bill Belichick as my coach.
You're betting on Bill and Tyrod Taylor over Andy Reid.
No, you said Bill in the playoffs.
Right, okay. So even if you get to the playoffs, you're not winning anything. You're not going to the Super Bowl. So you need to get the next quarterback, because you know what we're going to be doing? If you bring in Tyrod Taylor, or you bring in Mitchell Trubisky or Jameis Winston or any of these guys, next year at the same time, we're going to say, who's the quarterback going to be next year? So why don't you just solve it, trade up in the draft and get the guy? That's what the Patriots need to do. They need to get the quarterback. You're not a bridge quarterback away. In 17, the Vikings were. They felt like, okay, we went all the way to the title game with Case Keenum, a career backup, because we had the number one defense in the league. We had Dalvin Cook that was going to be coming back from injury. We had Adam Thielen. We had Stephon Diggs. We just need a little bit better quarterback play. So they landed Kirk Cousins. They felt like, all right, that guy can put us over the top. Unfortunately, he didn't. If the Patriots roster looked like that, it would make sense to go out of your way to find one of these bridge quarterbacks. But the roster isn't good enough for that.
Kirk Cousins is getting 30-something a million a year. He's getting like 30 a year. So I'm
right,
not
but
saying
it was worth it for the Vikings at the time because they just made it to the NFC Championship game. The Patriots sucked. They finished third in their own division. They can't get a bridge quarterback in here and think and convince themselves they're Super Bowl contenders. They're not. Their receivers suck. Their tight ends suck. Their defensive line sucks. Their secondary is aging. There's nothing good about this roster right now besides the offensive line. But guess what? Tooney's a free agent, and David Andrews is a free agent.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI. We'll take more of your calls. What do you think Bill should do with that 15th pick? Should he trade up to get the quarterback? Should he stay back and do what he knows best, defensive line? Or should he move down? It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI.
This is KJ and Barrett on Sports Radio EEI.
KJ and Barrett on WEEI and part of the WEEI Sports Radio Network, 617-779-7937. Taking your calls and your texts at 37937. I am starving. You recommended I go to the snack
vending
machine.
Vending machine, yeah. They got
it makes it worse. Plus, they have one of those like vending machines like you have to like get your photo taken.
Because you get more hungry if you go to the vending. Yeah, I know. They do have that. It's
yeah, that's a
creepy.
Bit spooky. Right.
So what's your theory on the vending machine? You just get more hungry?
Yeah. Eating a Snickers and Fritos are just going to make it worse. I'll have a headache. Salt and sugar just rushing. I made the mistake of trying to like drink the ginger tea before I came in today. And now I'm starving.
Gosh. Don't pass out over there, man.
I won't. I got another hour. Thomas in Portland, Maine. You're on WEEI.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
My
whole thing is that I don't want to see the Patriots go and overspend on a quarterback who's just not very good. And that's what I keep hearing a lot of, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mitchell Trubisky, Mariota, all these guys. You know, we just saw Philip Rivers retire, who never made it to a Super Bowl, and he was pretty darn good. And so when I look at a quarterback, I want to see a guy who's really smart and doesn't cost very much for now. And I think that guy might be Cam. I hate to say because he didn't play very well, but for the price that he is, I don't want to see them going after some quarterback.
But doesn't that feel like you're buying broken IKEA furniture at this point? You know, bringing Cam back, like you know the furniture's damaged?
No, I'm thinking the long game. I'm thinking the long game because I think that we got all that cap space. I think we should build up those skill positions, maybe get the defense a little bit younger, and then next year or 2 years down the road, maybe Deshaun Watson doesn't get traded and he's available and he looks at the foundation built up in New England and goes, hey, that's the place. And that's why you look at the Colts, why the Colts were so attractive to a lot of teams. That's why the Saints were attractive to a lot of teams. I just think that we're going to go and we're going to spend money and we're going to have a lot of buyer's remorse when it's all said and done.
Yeah, but Thomas, I don't know what you mean by the Colts were attractive to a lot of teams. What do you mean by that?
Well, sorry, I misspoke. I think they were attractive to a lot of quarterbacks that are on the market right now because they had a good baseline team that was already there, and that's why they were the front runners in getting a lot of these quarterbacks. When all
they,
these quarterbacks
they got Carson Wentz.
Were like, I know they got Carson Wentz, but that was a team that people were looking at as a front runner. The Saints as well. That's another
a front runner for who though? Really Matthew Stafford didn't want to go to Indianapolis. He's not on Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson's list, so I don't know who else you're talking about.
Look at what the Rams had, though. The Rams had a bunch of skill players on defense. They had a bunch of great players on offense.
Right.
And so Stafford was like, yeah, I want to go there. And so I think the Patriots should be working towards that to get a higher quality guy maybe in a year or two. And then that way we're good for the next 10 years instead of just being okay for the next two.
So another bridge quarterback.
I think that a bridge quarterback is the only option. It's not what I want to see, but I think that's as far as what's going to be good for us in the long run. I just don't think that there's that guy out there. I think maybe Tyrod Taylor might be an upgrade. I don't know if he's going to be available or not, but I think that he might be a good guy, maybe an upgrade from Cam so that they're a little more watchable. But I just don't want to break the bank on some guy that's just not very good, like a Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, right. I don't think he'd be breaking the bank.
Trubisky.
I don't want him, but you're not breaking the bank.
Yeah, 12.
Would you get him for $1 million like you would Cam?
Yeah, well, you're not going to get Cam for $1 million.
You're not
going to
get a good
either.
NFL quarterback for $1 million. Said that. Right. You're going to have to spend something. No one's saying $25 million. Trubisky's not even going to cost that. Maybe 8 to 12 tops.
But what could you get at tight end or receiver for that? What could you get on?
Well, that's a question. Who are you getting, Thomas? Like, who are these free agents you're getting? Hunter Henry said he wants to go somewhere with a good quarterback to begin with. So who are you getting anyway with this salary cap money? Like, I know everybody gets excited about the salary cap space, but can you guarantee me, like, the Patriots are going to get big-time free agents? I just don't see it. Who's going to want to come here?
The whole thing is that people don't want to come here already. So why don't we try to build up a team so that people do want to come here? It feels like you're putting the horse before the cart.
Yeah, look, I understand your theory. Look, appreciate the call. I understand your theory is you want to look for, build up the team, and then hope down the road you can get 2022 or 2023's version of Matthew Stafford, right? You want to build up the rest of the team. The problem with that is
there's not enough time.
Well, and the Patriots aren't close.
Yeah.
They have to do it through the draft. Like the Rams, they're appealing because they drafted a guy like Aaron Donald. They drafted Cooper Kupp. They were able to acquire Robert Woods. They already traded for Jalen Ramsey. They built up that team. That right. team is really, really good right now. And when you look at this Patriots team, it's not there, and it's going to take a while to get it back. That's why I said, since you're in rebuild mode, since your roster isn't good, that's why I rather just get the young, good quarterback now and try to trade up for him this year and deal with the rest of the roster building as things go along, because you're going to need to build up the roster either way. And this whole idea of the salary cap space means the Patriots are going to be good going forward and they're going to completely rebuild their roster. I don't believe that to be the case whatsoever.
Well, do you think Bill would make good choices with free agency?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that...
We already know what everything says with the draft.
Is he going to land Allen Robinson? Probably not. Is he going to land Hunter Henry? Probably not. Is he going to land Jonnu Smith? Probably not. So the biggest need that this team has right now, and that's what I believe, free agency is more about needs and drafting is about getting the best players on your roster and building from there. You can't... It's very difficult to build up a team through free agency. How many teams have done that in NFL history? Usually, a team will go out and get a guy, like the Patriots have done over the years. They get a Gilmore to go along with a pretty good roster at the time, right? We've seen that Adalius Thomas, now 09 by 09, he soured on the team, but he worked out in 07. He was a good player. Usually it's one guy. You need basically every position group right now if you're the Patriots.
But I think Bill has something up his sleeve. I think he'll find a quarterback and at least one receiver. Well, clearly be better than anything that's on the roster now. But he'll find a quarterback and a receiver, and then pieces will start to trickle in. I just believe that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's just blind faith, though. There's no...
Well, that's where we are now.
Right, but I mean, there's no guarantee any of that's going to happen. So that's why I just say get the quarterback now, because it's not like 100% you're going to build up the rest of the roster and then you can get a quarterback in the future. Get the quarterback now, and then you can build up the rest of the roster as
you just think
on.
The quarterback should be getting through we should get the quarterback through the draft.
Yeah.
I believe free agency.
Yeah, but there's nobody available. But let me just say this, though. If you look at teams that have had a lot of salary cap space, so recently the Raiders did, right? Now they're in a position where they're $9 million over the cap, and they got to cut guys. So a couple of years ago, when they had all this money in the world, the Raiders, in 19, they signed Tyrell Williams, a receiver. 4 years, $44 million. Already cut the guy. Last year, he's out pretty much the whole year with a torn labrum. 19, they also signed LaMarcus Joyner. 4 years, $42 million. He could be a cap casualty this year. 19, they signed Trent Brown. Remember our old friend. 4 years, $66 million. At the time, richest contract for a tackle. 16.5 years, banged up much of the time he's been there. He could actually get cut. And then you look at 2020, they signed Mariota, already looking to trade him. 2020, Corey Littleton, 3 years, $36 million, is a good player, has not played well with the Raiders. So this team that had all this salary cap space, they spent all this money. Where did it get them? They're in the same place they are right now. They're going to have to cut a lot of these guys. They're over the cap. So just because you have all this salary cap space, it doesn't guarantee you're going to rebuild the organization, because the reality is usually really, really good players don't become available. Like Allen Robinson's a good receiver, and I would love him on the Patriots.
I never thought he'd be here.
But he's not an elite player. He's not in the same conversation with the Michael Thomases of the world, right? With the Devontae Adams of the world. He's not that type of receiver. He's good, but he's not in that category.
I don't think it's going to take superstars to come here to fix what's happening now. Again, as bad as the team was last year, that's a 7-9 team. If someone who never saw football and you scrub the score from the screen and say, how did this team finish watching this 2-14? That's what it looked like out there. So you have to give Bill some credit for taking chicken salad and making it from literal chicken you know what, because that's what it was last year.
Well, how do we give Bill credit for that? He's the one that put the roster together.
Well, but
it's, those are his players.
Yeah, but if you know
it's not like he came to a team and he landed and this was year one with this roster. Like, this is his group. This is his group of guys.
So the biggest glaring thing, Tom gone. How many games would Tom made a difference with this 7-9 team? What do you think the team would go?
They would have been in the postseason. I don't think they would have won a Super Bowl, but they definitely would have went in the postseason. I mean, come on. You think that Tom's not going to beat the Denver Broncos at home? I mean, give me a break.
So you're talking a three-game swing, right?
Yeah, you're in the postseason with Tom Brady, yes.
So, yeah, again, for your first bad year in 20, and the biggest glaring difference is three games, you still have something going on as the coach.
I mean, that's a lot. Three games in the NFL is a lot. That's between a 10 and a 7-win football team. That's not like a small margin.
Right, but that's what we have here.
That makes Tom's season 2 years ago even more impressive.
Right.
That he actually won the division with that crappy roster.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I totally agree. But I think this team, if you told me that Cam Newton was going to be this bad going into this season and Jarrett Stidham was the potential backup option, 4-12 at the best. At the best.
Okay, but let's really look at that. So your wins. The Chargers had one of the worst coaches in the NFL that they had to fire, and basically Cam did nothing in that game. It was the special teams of the Chargers was an utter disaster. You had two wins over the New York Jets. I mean, do we count those?
But they're in the division. You play them again next year.
Yeah, but I mean, like, is that is that impressive?
A win is a win.
Look at the context. Okay, the Miami game, you caught them off guard at the beginning of the season. So where are the impressive wins? Like, where were the wins where you're like, oh, I'm shocked they beat them? I'm not shocked they beat the Chargers.
I was shocked that they had any impressive win. I'm shocked.
They had one good win. They had one good win against the Baltimore Ravens. That's it.
And I thought this team might have only had four wins total.
No chance. You did not think before the season that the Patriots are going to win four games. You actually thought that?
Yeah, after so a few games.
So you thought Cam Newton was going to be the worst quarterback like in the sport?
And not the worst, but one that would have Jarrett Stidham in the game and probably seeing more losses where trying to figure out moving forward. So
right,
imagine,
but hold on. But once they brought in Cam, everybody knew he was the starter. Nobody actually thought
No, no one thought he wasn't going to be the starter coming in, but I would probably say six games in, you were like...
Right, but my point is, you said before the season, you thought they were going to win three, four games?
If I knew Cam Newton was going to be as bad as he ended up being, then yeah, four wins tops, because I've seen that before with Cam Newton. A bad Cam Newton
We've never seen Cam like that. I mean,
no, I've seen Cam play for bad teams while he was there.
Right, but we haven't seen Cam as bad as he was this year.
Well, that happens with time.
Right,
they would just father time hit
like,
him.
This was legitimately his, by far, his worst season. Like, it's not even remotely close.
All right, final hour of KJ and Barrett. Right after the break, 617-779-7937 or 37937. It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI.